Our children are a part of our fellowship, and we ought to encourage them in every way we can, isn't it? And they should see the enthusiasm for the Lord in us. Many times our way of teaching is, do as I say, not as I do, isn't it? But it should be do what I say and what I do. And so if we are enjoying the Lord as a church, then they will catch that from us. Welcome this morning as we dig into the Word of God, and we go back to a series that we've just begun in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. This morning we'll be looking at the first seven verses, actually verse 2 to 7. We looked at verse 1 the last time. But let me read for us the first seven verses. This is really the beginning, the introduction to this book and its purpose. The beginning of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. So, Father, make us truly wise. Teach us the ways of wisdom. And most of all, show us the pathway of wisdom that leads to the cross, where we find Christ, so that we gaze on Him always, knowing that He is the wisdom of God. And in Him and through His fear, we find true wisdom. Teach us Your word, we pray in Jesus' name, for His glory. Amen. The book of Proverbs is a purposeful book. If you want practical, it's all practical, isn't it? From start to finish. There's no theological section per se. It's a machine gun of wisdom. It is written so that directly as you read it, you will have transformation in your life, so that you live well for the glory of God in the world as a representative of Him. The book of Proverbs was written for the nation of Israel to live with virtue in the community of God's people. It's not a book of direct theology or simply knowing this is the right thing, this is the will of God. It is a book designed to help you live with virtue in God's world. So it's a very practical book, but it is challenging, and many have shirked from trying to preach it because of how vast are the tidbits of wisdom, and it's very difficult to organize. But it is possible, and that's what we're going to do. And the chosen instrument that that Solomon used in giving this wisdom is, as he says in verse 1, Proverbs. Proverbs. And we might think that when you think of the Bible, when you're looking for Proverbs, the place to find it is the book of Proverbs. But actually, there are Proverbs and the medium of Proverbs as a way of teaching all across Scripture. We see it in the Old Testament, you'll find it in the Psalms, but even in the New Testament and other places, but even in the New Testament, you'll find Proverbs. James is a parallel, you could say, the New Covenant Proverbs, book of Proverbs. James is a book of wisdom, but in the New Testament. And Jesus Himself, for example, in the book of Mark chapter 12 verse 17 as an example, He Himself used proverbs in the way that He taught. So what is a proverb? The Hebrew word that is used here is this word masal, masal. Not masala, but masal. And simply, as you think about what Solomon means, some say aphorism or even a mini parable. But simply, that word means parallel, something similar. And we might think of it this way. a biblical proverb is like a poetic photograph of life. It's a poetic photograph of life. So God, before we get into the action of life, before certain situations of life hit us, God is giving us a poetic photograph and saying, this is the way things ought to be. This is the way. Beware. This is the situation. Let me give you a brief photograph of life before you actually experience it yourself. One writer put it this way. God wants us not to live and learn. This is something that people think. You got to live and learn. You got to make your mistakes and then you learn from them. It is not biblical to live that way. In actual fact, it's foolishness because you're going to end up with a lot of scars and sorrow if you live and learn. And many of you know this. You have learned the hard way and you would rather have not gone back that way, right? The Bible is saying learn and then live. And that's why God gives us Proverbs. The wise person doesn't live and learn, but learns and then lives. And you save yourself a lot of sorrow. That's the design of Proverbs. The goal of Proverbs is wisdom. And right at the beginning, Solomon gives us the whole purpose of the book. In verse 2, he says, the Proverbs are what? To know wisdom and instruction. And we'll talk about wisdom a little bit. And so we can frame it this way as we think about this, these first 7 verses. This is really the introduction of the book, the purpose of the book. And you can see to know, to receive, to give, to understand, right? Why are the Proverbs given for all these purposes? There's purposefulness. So before the Proverbs are given, you have the introduction to why they are given. And so we can ask the question, how does wisdom work? How does wisdom work? The purpose of Proverbs is wisdom, and how does it work? And you can see in your notes, we're going to look at four parts to this. Clearly, we are given four parts, in four parts, how wisdom works. And as you can see in your handout, I hope you have your pens. There's going to be a quiz after this to check if you've got all the answers. I'm only half joking. But first point, let's look at this as we break up verse 2 to 7. Into four parts. The elements of wisdom. The elements of wisdom. Verse 2. He says, to know wisdom and understanding, to understand words of insight. And we can divide this. Again, verse 2 is really describing in shell form what he's going to say in verse 3 to 6. But really, we can divide verse 2 into two parts. He's talking about the elements of wisdom being skill for living and skill for thinking. Skill for living, skill in living, and skill in thinking. These are two elements of wisdom. Why are the Proverbs given? He says, to know. To know. And we think of the word know more often than not as an intellectual thing. But the biblical word, the Hebrew word of knowing, is deeper than that. It's speaking of an experiential, personal knowledge of something, a deep-rooted knowledge of knowing through experience. It's a part of who you are, that kind of knowledge, not just in my head. To know something deeply. And there are two ideas that need to be known here. You see, wisdom and instruction. You see that in verse 2? To know wisdom and instruction. And so first, wisdom. What is wisdom and what does it mean to know wisdom in this intimate sense? We can say a person who knows the science book in school and wins the GK competitions is not the wise person of Proverbs. That's not who is being spoken of here. Rather, it is the person who knows those things and then uses those things, for example, say to build an irrigation system that helps farmers. That's the wise person. That's wisdom. Wisdom is deeper than intellectual knowing. It is how you're able to use your knowledge to be effective, and not just in a practical, worldly sense, but for the Lord and His glory, ultimately. That's the wisdom of being spoken here. Somebody knows all the Bible verses and wins the Bible. We have people like this. Now you've grown up all your life in the church. You know all the answers, right? Some are still like that even in their old age. But if that's all your knowledge, that's not wisdom. That kind of knowledge is pointless without true wisdom. The word wisdom is used in many places. In fact, in Exodus chapter 35, verse 31, for example, you see wisdom used of the skilled craftsmen who built the tabernacle. They were wise. That's the word applied here. And so we can apply that principle to life. And we can say that really wisdom can be seen as skilled craftsmanship in the way that we live life for God's glory that affects real change for the better and for God's glory in life. You see, it's a way of taking all that you know with skill and craftsmanship by the Spirit of God in order to live effectively for God's glory in life. That's powerful. That's powerful. It's transformative. It's one thing to hope that India will win the World Cup. It's another thing to have a plan, a real plan, and a pathway that effectively allows the team to have steps that lead to victory. That's wisdom. And again, we're not speaking just of things of success in the world. That's not an ideal goal. But that's the principle of wisdom when we apply it to God's glory as well. It's one thing to know what God's word says about God's will. I know what God's will is. I know what God's word says. I know the verses. God's wisdom and wisdom that comes from God lives skillfully, effectively for God's glory. You move from questions to answers and practical application of those answers. That's wisdom. To know wisdom. That's what Solomon is writing in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So that we may know true wisdom. Secondly, instruction. And this is what makes wisdom hard. If you just talk about wisdom, who doesn't want this, right? I want to live effectively in the world for God's glory. Who doesn't want this? So let's just do it. Let's walk out the door and be wise. But what makes it difficult is the second word called instruction. It makes wisdom hard to easily or just passively get. Wisdom comes through instruction. And the word in verse 1, instruction, actually literally means discipline. Discipline. Disciplined instruction. It could be instruction by words. You verbally instruct somebody and you instruct in words. That's the first step, right? You tell somebody what is right and what is wrong. You offer them instruction. And the design of instruction by words is to be told something so that you don't act in a certain way and you do act in a certain way, in a better way. Right? That's the first step from naivety. From being a simpleton, instruction is what gives you the idea of what is right and what is wrong. But there's a second part of instruction. Suppose you know already, you have been instructed and you've been given what is right and wrong and you still take the wrong way and don't do the right thing. Then what do you need? You need the second step of instruction, which is discipline. It's correction. Instruction after you have done the wrong thing, made the mistake, so that you are corrected, so that you don't repeat the mistake. We need to tell this to ourselves and to our generation and be like this in our parenting as well. We've become cowards and we're going to create a next generation that are absolutely foolish because we don't understand the importance of instruction, both parts of this. And if you don't instruct the way God does, then you are not like Him. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 16. See the first two things. As it talks about Scripture. What is the way that Scripture is used by God and the Spirit? 2 Timothy 3, 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? First two things. For teaching or instruction. And secondly, for correction. First He tells us. Then when we go wrong, He corrects us. We're coming to a generation where nobody should say anything negative to anybody, right? Don't say no. Don't say this is wrong. Let everybody find their own way. That's why we're going to have a generation of fools. And we'll have a generation not willing to listen because they're not used to being corrected. Don't we have that already? Some of us are like this. As soon as somebody corrects us, we bring the defense up and say, who are you to talk to me like this? You see? That's a pathway of foolishness. Let's tell this to ourselves and to our generation 100 times. God says, not me, not the preacher, not the church. God in his word is telling us that there is no wisdom without discipline, without instruction. Correction is the necessary pathway to wisdom. You can't just figure out life. I'll just figure out. Arey chalta hai, I'll just figure out. I'll just Google it and find out how to live life. No. Wisdom takes instruction. So skill in living is the promise, is the purpose of Proverbs. But also skill in thinking. Look at the second part of verse 2, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, secondly, to understand words of insight. To understand words of insight. The word is understanding. That's where we get this idea of skill in thinking. Not just how you live, skill in how you live, but skill in how you think. So what Solomon is saying, that the wisdom that Proverbs is offering takes mental skill. It takes mental skill and it gives mental clarity. Wisdom leads to clear thinking. That's clear. Understanding. But you can't have clear thinking without putting in mental effort. You can't have muscles without exercise. Is that clear? You can't have clear thinking without effort. Somebody will come to me, many actually. You know, I don't read. But I want to know God's will. Actually, I should just tell them that let's not have this meeting because there's not going to be any change in your life. If you're not going, somebody says, you know, I don't exercise, but I want muscles. What will you say? Then don't do anything. You're not going to have muscles. That's the end of the conversation, right? You're not going to know God's will. You're not going to have wisdom unless you do the mental exercise by the Spirit of God. It starts there. Think about your life. How many books have you read in the past 5 years? I'm not even saying the last year. Well, don't be surprised if you don't have a clarity about what the will of the Lord is. Have you studied? Are you interested? Are you spoon-fed? Our education system has done us no favors, isn't it? Right? Our education system, the teacher is supposed to give the answers to the students at the exam time. What kind of system is this? Not a system that brings forth wisdom. And so those go into the workplace and they are clueless about life. That's in the world. It's the same thing in the church. We come to church, pastor, leader, you spoon feed me. I'll ask the questions. I'm not going to do any work. I'll just ask the questions. You spoon feed me and then I'll go back with those things. And if I don't agree with you, I'll say I don't agree with you. But I'm not going to study for myself. I don't have the time or the inclination. Or the self-discipline. You see, Proverbs is going to shake you up a little bit, and I hope it does. Understanding is a prerequisite. Wisdom takes mental effort. Look at chapter 2 of Proverbs. He continues this thought, but chapter 2, 1 to 4. I just want to highlight a few things. Look at the effort that he's calling the pupil to. My son, if you receive my words. You see that? If you treasure up my commandments. Whose work is this? Not the teacher's. You receive it. You absorb it. You treasure it. You make your ear attentive. You make your ear attentive. Don't have the teacher telling you, hey, pay attention. Hey, pray that the Lord will remove distractions. Why aren't you praying that the Lord will remove distractions? Hey, you know, you make your ears. You know, those who have wisdom have big ears. Let's say it that way. They've stretched their ears and said, I am going to make sure my ears are stretchy and open so I collect all the wisdom I need. Make your ears attentive. Incline your heart. Again, teacher has to pull me. No, I have to lean forward and be attentive. You see, the church is not a place where the pastor is the policeman. There's something wrong there. The church is a place when the Spirit makes everybody lean forward. to hear. Because they long to be wise. Incline your heart. Seek understanding. He says, seek understanding like silver. Search for it like treasures. Forget your work treasures. Forget your entertainment treasures, your video games, your whatever it is, right? Seek those things. I just want to have a... Seek treasure, true treasure. And you will be wise. But it's not in your couch. You know, I was calling the kids as we prayed together. We're all couch potatoes. There was a bunch of couch potatoes praying together, right? Let's not be like this in our lives. Couch potatoes waiting for wisdom to happen. It's not going to happen. It takes exercise, understanding. And the promise and the hope of this is Proverbs chapter 1 verse 2. If you take the time to study and understand words of insight, your reward will be understanding. Understanding. There is a correlation with how much work you put in and the effect of wisdom. The Spirit of God will bless you. The Spirit of God will bless you. We want everything to be magical in the church, isn't it? It is supernatural. It is not magical. There is a supernatural effect, but you've got to exercise your mind. So skill in living, skill in thinking. Second part of this, let's look at verse 3 and 4. Not just the elements of wisdom, but the education of wisdom. And often in the book of Proverbs, you have the picture of a classroom. You have the picture of a classroom. And you see this here in verse 3 and 4. In verse 3, he speaks of to give. To give. Right? To give prudence. And verse 4, he speaks of receiving. In verse 3, the learner's perspective is addressed. In verse 4, the teacher's perspective is seen. Notice verse 3. Who receives instruction? The learner receives instruction, right? To give prudence to the simple. And really what is being described here is another word we can use, a New Testament word, the disciple. The disciple. To give brings us to the heart of the disciple. Literally the word is to accept, to receive, to accept. Look at James chapter 1. You can see near the heart of the disciple. James chapter 1 verse 21. Receive with meekness. The implanted word. Receive with meekness. Again, not automatic. There is something you have to do to grasp it and bring it to yourself, right? Like the hungry baby. The bottle is there. Not just, there are some babies like that, you know. I just put it in my mouth, I'm not going to do anything. But some are so hungry. Have you seen that? They grab the bottle and pull it to themselves, right? And that's the idea. Receive. God is giving it to you, but you receive it. The implanted word, which is able. And again, this is beyond just earthly wisdom, how to be rich, how to be successful, right? Which is able to save your souls. To receive instruction. Sorry, verse 3. To receive instruction in wise dealing. In righteousness, justice, and equity. How can I end up dealing wisely in righteousness, in justice, and equity? You're not going to be able to end up dealing wisely in those areas of life without being in a position of a learner. There are too many who are trying to teach first without learning. James picks this up and he says, Not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you will receive double accountability. This is a reality in the church. People just turn up, they don't serve, and then you find out they're expecting to teach. Right? We have egos. I'm a teacher. Well, so what? And who appointed you teacher over anybody, right? We're all servants of the Lord. The starting point is learning, is serving. Humility. Outside of that is not real wisdom. I know there's a lot of honor out there, right? You call yourself a pastor, then before your name only, right? It becomes doctor, pastor, reverend, whatever. We give honor to titles and things like that. But really, that doesn't really show whether or not somebody has wisdom. There are many who try to teach without first learning. Bend your knee before God and His word, and then He will crown you with wisdom. And you will not have to go chasing around saying, give me an opportunity to be a teacher. But people will come to you. Women, people will come to you. Young girls will come to you for wisdom. Men, you will become a discipler. You wouldn't even maybe have a position in the church. But you will be a person that is compelling in your wisdom. You see, bend your knee first before God and His word. Receive from Him instruction, and then He will crown you with wisdom. Humble yourself before Him. He will lift you up. You want wisdom? Yes, ask God, it says. James says, ask God for wisdom. But first, be prepared to listen. To receive. So to give, that's the, to receive first, sorry. Then secondly, to give, verse 4. To receive instruction, and then to give prudence. And so here the teacher's perspective is seen, to give prudence to the simple. The teacher gives prudence to the simple. And notice that the starting point of wisdom, this is correct, the starting point of wisdom in terms of age is to the young. You want wisdom, start young. If you're young this morning, this is for you. Start well. It's a lot harder to be wise later on. Once you start the pathways of your life. I'll say this once, I'll say this again during this message. Gray hair does not equal to wisdom. Being old, we have this in our culture. There's a good thing about it to respect your elders. But many times we find ourselves respecting elders who don't deserve any respect because they have no wisdom. Gray hair doesn't mean wisdom. How you start and the pathways that you go on, train up a child, Proverbs says, in the way that he could go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the starting point of wisdom is to the young. And two words about this are used. You see in verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And you'll see this figure of speech throughout Proverbs, which is called parallelism. And there are different kinds of parallelism. You have parallelism, two parallel statements. Sometimes they repeat the same thing. Sometimes they build on it. Sometimes they contrast. There's all different kinds of parallelism. And you can here see the parallel, right? Simple is paralleled and expanded by the word youth. First is the simple. Simple or the simpleton. But this is not talking about intellectual capacity. We use this in English, right? You're such a simple person, meaning akkal nahi hai, brainless. You can't pass your exam, simple. But that's not the way that Proverbs is using this idea. Literally, again, the Hebrew word can be translated the open-minded person. The open-minded person. And if you think about this word, you begin to see how sensible it is. This is the kind of person who hasn't made up his or her mind. Open-minded. Convictionless. One commentator called it the uncommitted person. You look at issues in life and you don't have a strong opinion here or there. And in this world, that is now a virtue, right? Don't be dogmatic. It's not a virtue. It's cluelessness. It's naivety. Because if you're full of God's word, you will know which direction to take. The simple person is open-minded. Have you met people like this? You express an opinion, and all they offer, and you can then begin to see, you know, this person is not just open-minded, but not willing to be one way or another. I'm just going to sit somewhere on the fence. Somebody said, if you sit on the fence, all you are is a pain in the bum. Right? That's what you get. You express an opinion, all they offer is questions. I don't know what you're saying, but I don't agree. That's an open-minded person, right? So I don't know also, but I'm not going to agree also with you. Right? Not here. Not there. Now, usually such person seem to be, the young people are like this, right? We find this in youth. The youth are the ones who are always questioning everything, right? And there's a healthiness to it. But often you'll find youth like this. They simply want to make the counter opinion. They don't know anything. They're not going to offer any answers to life. If you ask them, what are your convictions? I don't know. But when you make any assertions, I'm not going to believe you just because of you. That kind of thing. That's the simpleton in Proverbs. Convictionless open-mindedness, questioning always. Not willing to come to an agreement. It's usually young people who are like this. It's horrible when you see an old person like this. Because that's very hard to change. You just have to live with it, and it's incredibly hard to live with. And it's interesting that word youth, the simple is paralleled with the youth in verse 4, that who is the young person in the scriptures? That word for youth in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, spreads all the way from baby Moses. He's called the youth. I think it's Na'al, youth. And then even adolescent or older, 17 plus old Joseph, he's also called a youth. So who's the youth? The spread is quite long. And in fact, I think in Jewish culture, at the age 20, when a young man enlisted in the military and was held responsible, that's when he's declared a man. A man. That responsibility that you take. And in fact, for us in our culture, we are not given responsibility, especially as men. We're still, you know, holding on to mummy's legs till we are 25, 26, 27, isn't it? So we can say youth till then only, no? No responsibility. So that's what the young person is. Simple and open-minded. And there are two things promised from wisdom. See, Proverbs identifies these people and their issues and the problem, and it's designed to change that. Not to simply condemn, right? And so two promises are given in verse 4 to the open-minded person, the uncommitted. And what's that word? To give what to the simple, to the open-minded? Prudence. That's not helpful. All I can think of when I heard the word prudence is an old lady's name, right? Somebody called Prudence. It's not a word we use today, is it? Some of you listen to Beatles, you think of a song. But a more helpful word is the direct translation of this word from the Hebrew, and that's shrewdness. Shrewdness or craftiness. You'll say, wait a minute, that sounds like a bad thing to be shrewd or craft. But in fact, in relation to righteousness and living righteously without sin, shrewdness and craftiness is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a virtue. Simply put, shrewdness is clever, wise strategies and answers to succeed in life and the goals for the glory of God. That's shrewdness. No longer are you open-minded and not having an opinion, questioning everything, but you have clarity. You have clarity. I know what I need to do and I know how to do it to be fruitful for the glory of God. And effectively, I have a plan for my life. I am shrewd. The second promise, in fact, Jesus himself said that the people of this world, he used that puzzling parable, isn't it? The people of this world are more shrewd than the children of the light. And he says, for goodness sake, use unrighteous mammon to make friends for yourself. Be shrewd in the way you use your wealth. So that they will receive the gospel, become friends, and receive you into eternity because they've heard the gospel and got saved. Be shrewd in how you use the resources that God has given you effectively. Have clarity on what you're doing. See, you know the big picture and you know how to use the resources that God has given you craftily, shrewdly, for the glory of God. That's the idea. So that's the promise to the open-minded. Shrewdness, prudence. And what about the young? Second promise is to the young. What is it? Knowledge and discretion to the young. Discretion can be described as the ability to not be taken by surprise. You have discernment and discretion. You can smell a rat. That's discretion. You can smell when somebody is going to take advantage of you. That's discretion. And in the Christian life, discretion means you can smell temptation. You see that advertisement and then you realize what's at the heart of it. You see that TV serial and you know what's at the heart of it. This is not just a fictional account designed to entertain me. There are ideas here that I need to protect myself from. I smell a rat and I smell it even in Disney for my children. There are ideologies here that are going to influence my children. I smell a rat. That's discernment and discretion. Not to be caught by surprise. And if you have discretion, for example, then you are able to reject temptation to do something or sin or by. You're not taken by surprise. Oh, I didn't realize that's what was happening and it was too late and I fell into the trap. That's a person who doesn't have discretion. And again, it's usually a function that you see in the young people. But it happens. If you haven't learned wisdom in your young age, it happens when you're older. Discretion. But the second word, knowledge, is vital as well. Giving knowledge and discretion to the youth. Knowledge is important simply for this reason. Wisdom without knowledge. Take this to the bank if you remember something. Wisdom without knowledge is impossible. Once again, we come back to what I said before. Wisdom without knowledge is muscles without exercise. It's a fictional thing. It's a fictional thing. If you're not seeking knowledge, then you are debarring yourself from godly wisdom. If you are not soaked in God's word, you will never be wise. If you don't read Christian books and don't feed your soul, you will not be wise. You will forever, for the rest of your life, be asking other wise people for advice. I promise you this because this is what the Lord is saying. From young age, the design of His word, the design of these Proverbs is knowledge and discretion. Give you knowledge so that you will have wisdom. Start early. For goodness sake, discipline yourself. What are you waiting for? What have you been waiting for? You made the New Year's resolution. I'm going to read this. I'm going to do that, right? What have you been waiting for? The years are passing away. Wisdom, and we'll see this in the book of Proverbs, wisdom beckons, saying, come. Come to me. What are you waiting for? No, I'm so busy. I have my studies. Then I have my job. Then I have my spouse. Then I have my children. Then I have their education. Then I have my grandchildren. We'll always find an excuse to not do the things that we ought to do till we are 80 years old, looking back at the things we should have done. You see? That's what wisdom is. Not live and learn because sometimes it's too late. But learn and then live and then teach somebody else. It's refreshing when we see wisdom, isn't it? And we practice wisdom when we see people actually living like this. Knowledge, wisdom without knowledge is impossible. Again, if you want to be wise, you've got to grow in knowledge. Verse 7 says, Fools, the fools of the Old Testament and Proverbs despise instruction and wisdom. How do you despise instruction? Outright rejection is one way. You say, I don't want to learn. I don't have the time. My brain doesn't work like this. I don't read. I only read the newspaper, somebody told me once. I said, yeah, then you do read, no? You read the newspaper, you do read. Start reading something, no? Feed your soul. Fools despise instruction. Either through rejection, you might be despising. You say, I don't despise knowledge. I don't despise instruction. Well, you might not be rejecting it, but you might be busy. You are still despising instruction and knowledge for yourself. Or through sheer laziness. Are yaar, one more minute in bed. And the Proverbs will hit us there also. Right? The lazy person, the proverb says, is too lazy to even lift the hand from the plate to put in his mouth. All is there. Brothers and sisters, everything is there. The riches of the diet of God's wisdom is there. You are too lazy, some of you, to put the thing to your mouth. And then we find ourselves in counseling sessions, isn't it? You tell me what to do. And the answer will always be, what have you been doing in your life? Let's get back to the basics. Start feeding your soul. That's always where we begin. put the hand to the mouth and start that exercise again. The education of wisdom. You can see how this is opening up the rest of the book for us. Thirdly, not just the education of wisdom, but the exercise of wisdom. Verse 5 and 6. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Two things here in verse 5 and 6. It takes practice and it takes time. Wisdom takes practice and wisdom takes time. It's not a one-off thing. Again, wisdom is not a function simply of gray hair. The longer you sit in life, you will automatically absorb wisdom. Wisdom doesn't come when the dentists in our church pull out those teeth, wisdom teeth. Okay, now the time has come, I am wise, right? In fact, some of us, when the wisdom teeth are pulled out, there's no net gain. In fact, we've lost 4 teeth. That's all that's happened, right? And there's hope in this and a warning. There's hope and a warning in verse 5. Those who are open-minded, that's the hope. There's a progress here. Follow it. The youth, he starts with the youth in verse 4. Verse 4, the simple and the youth. The open-minded, the simple one. When they embrace instruction, what do they become? The progress is verse 5. They become the wise ones. That's the hope. You don't have to remain simple, open-minded, and just a youth. If you embrace wisdom at a young age, you will become the wise. And there's a warning as well. Chapter 1, verse 22. Those who remain open-minded, who don't receive instruction, they will end up being lumped up together with the fools. That's where you end up. So that's the warning. And what's the cry in this verse? This is pretty interesting. Verse 5. There's a cry. And what's the call? Let the wise hear and increase in learning. Now he's not addressing the fool and the simple-minded. Who's he addressing? He's addressing the one who's already wise. That tells us a lot about the function of wisdom and the practice of wisdom. Let the already wise hear and increase in learning. So that tells us that the design of wisdom is not static. It's not young people. And this, I get this all the time. I'm going to bring somebody to the church because, you know, youth need to hear this. Youth need to hear this. God's people need to hear this, whether they are 1 year old or 80 years old. The word of God is not youth oriented. No, but it's interesting. And what, for old people, the word of God is not interesting? Right? We have this mentality, right? No. The things that change life has to be given to the youth. And here you see, it's not young people. Read Proverbs, learn wisdom, and older people will watch you as you grow and learn. Right? We have this mentality sometimes, no? Are they good? Yeah, young people are coming to. Oh, what about you, older person? In fact, this verse is showing us that even when you gain wisdom, when you are described as the wise, even when you gain in age, if you are not hearing, if you are not listening, so that for what purpose? Let the wise hear and increase in learning. If you, no matter how old you are not hearing so that you grow in wisdom, not I've reached the point that I'm wise. And that's not who you are, then in fact, you are not really wise. Wisdom is not a static thing, it is a progressive thing. You see that? So the mark of wisdom is always learning, always growing, always listening, always hearing. Do you see that in this verse? Till the day of your death. That's one of the tragedies with old people who get this idea that now I'm at the point of life, I only give, I don't receive. And it's very difficult to live with people like that, isn't it? But it's so refreshing to see a humble old person. They have so much to give. You just want to sit before them and listen to all that they learned from God and His Word. And yet they themselves are still feeding themselves. Those are the wise. The wise person progressively is wise. A wise person is not a one-time wise person. I got wisdom. In fact, maybe that's the problem of Solomon, isn't it? God said, I've given you wisdom, and at some point he stopped in the progress of wisdom. And for a major portion of this life, he was in fact practically a fool. A person who is one-time wise is a know-it-all. There's a difference between a know-it-all who just wants to tell people everything, you know, and you know these people in your life, right? We've got to be careful. The wisdom of Scripture says, be slow to speak and quick to hear, right? But you start a conversation and it's like the conversation is basically for them to start talking and telling them what their opinion, telling you what their opinion is in life, right? Every conversation is like that. That's a know-it-all. That's not a wise person. A wise person hears. Let the wise, not the fool, let the wise hear and increase. So there's teaching for the young, there's teaching for the old. And I'll say this even as strong as I can say it, you're not worth listening to, dear older person, unless you are also a hearer and a listener of wisdom. The wisest of people still listen and are still listening, open for nuggets so that they increase in their own learning. Yes, they do teach and they ought to, but they grow as well. Young person, start like this so that at the end of your life, you are still like this. Older person, if you haven't started like this, you're going to do a lot of work and knee bending. You know, as we get older, it's harder to kneel, isn't it? Even spiritually, it's harder to kneel. And when I, now I'm getting all those things. There are noises that come out of my mouth. When I sit down, I'm saying, where did this come from, right? It's a sign of age, you know, the noises from the bones and from the thing, right? The other day I was exercising before, stretching before badminton, and I noticed, right? And somebody was smiling, some kid was looking at me and smiling, right? Like, bye. Sounds like age is hitting, right? And this is the thing, older person, even if the Lord is speaking to you today, it is going to be hurtful to your ego and your pride to become a listener, because you're going to have to accept your pride. And you're going to have to look at, oh, wow, I have been so arrogant in my life. I'm a talker, not a listener. Not a learner, but I want to be a teacher. Lord, I repent. It hurts the older you are, because you've got years to deal with and the bones don't bend so easily anymore. Young person, start early. Wisdom is not a goal you should aim to reach in this life, but rather, as this verse is showing us, increasing in learning. It's not a goal. There's the goal. I'm going to work and I'm going to get it and then it's going to be it. No, there's something else. Look at chapter 4, verse 18. There's a good picture here. Chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Full day is glory, as we talked about last week. The pathway of wisdom is increasing brightness till you reach glory. And glory is full day. That's the idea. Wisdom is a path of increasing brightness, increasing learning, increasing growing. There's always a treasure of wisdom to be found. Because only in Christ is the goal of wisdom, infinite wisdom, you see? So how can we stop learning? See the parallel again. Let the wise hear and increase learning, Proverbs 1 verse 5, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Who needs to obtain guidance? The fool, the young person. Who does it say? No, the one who understands needs to seek guidance. You see, the older we get too proud to ask for help. And some of us husbands need to listen first and foremost, right? We like the fact that the Bible teaches that the role of the woman is the helper. We love that. But we forget the other side of this. That if she's a helper, it means what? That I need help. And if I need help, I got to ask for help. Yes, there are roles. The husband is the head. The wife is to submit to her husband. But prideful husbands exemplify the opposite of this, right? Seeking guidance. Taking counsel. Listening to others. And again, the women are not exempt from this. Women also are not, right? You women Are you all naturally humble and learners? Of course not. Yeah, one said yes, jokingly, right? We all are in the same boat, for goodness sake, right? We all have the same pride that needs to be broken by Christ. None of us are better than anybody else. But there are examples of this that we can see. Let the one who already understands, it says, obtain guidance. Older people, you really want to be a blessing to younger people, and what greater gift and goal that you would ask for, right? Lord, I want to be a blessing that my life, what I've learned from my life, will impact and influence in discipleship younger people. In fact, the scriptures tell us this, Titus chapter 2, older women, older men, you raise up and teach about family and parenting, about loving God, the young people, right? You want to be a blessing, stay humble, keep learning, listen more, speak less. And interestingly, you listen more, speak less, you'll be heard more. I found that the more I talk sometimes, the less people listen. And it is my vocation to talk, so I'm in trouble, isn't it? I've got to really self-examine. But for all of us, the less we speak, the more we hear, the more we will be heard. Because our words will have wisdom's weight that comes from Christ. So it takes practice. It takes practice. And verse 6, it takes time. Let the one who understands obtain, and the one who understands obtain guidance. What does it say, verse 6? To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So he's basically summarizing all that is found in the book of Proverbs. There are proverbs, there are what are called riddles, or sayings, words of the wise, the collection of the wise, right? And we can apply this. It's a simple reality being described here. He's talking about the book of Proverbs, but it can apply to wisdom in general. Wisdom is not like fast food. You go at the counter, you order it, and then it's there in about a few minutes. And if it's not there in a few minutes, then our entitled generation starts fighting with the management, right? Unko mila, humko nahi mila, you serve them first. And it took not 2 minutes, like you said, it took 3 minutes. How audacious is this, that my meal was late and it's 1 degree colder than I'm expecting it to be, right? And we treat everything in life this way so that it's very difficult for us to get wise, because wisdom takes time. Wisdom is not like microwave popcorn. It used to be when we were kids, right? Popcorn was some big blessing, right? Somebody had to first go and find kernels of corn. Then you have to find that proper cooker to put it in, and then just wait. And sometimes it wouldn't even work, right? Now you buy the packet, put it in the microwave, forget, and then you have a bunch of popcorn, right? Few minutes. Wisdom is not Maggie noodles. Mommy, I want noodles. 2 minutes, ho gaya, right? Wisdom is like a good dosa. Let's get relevant, no? To our South Indian folks. Wisdom is like a good dosa. The preparation starts the night before, no? You can't have instant good dosa. It needs to ferment properly. Even with the Proverbs, the cry is, let the understanding ask for guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, a word of the wise and their riddles. In fact, those who are understanding will get guidance from God and through His Spirit to be able, even after they have seen these things, to learn more. Jesus used parables, right? And they asked Him, why you use parables? Why is it so puzzling? And one of the designs is that you got to think a little. It's not at the surface. You got to revisit it. And here's a practical guide to Proverbs and wisdom in general. It is designed to take time before you realize the meaning of it. You'll read it and you'll think, ah, that's what it means. And then you'll come back later, maybe a day, a month, or a year later, and you look at it, oh, wait a minute, there's depth to this. It's like that with God's Word. I had somebody naively ask a question one Bible study, a long time ago. You know, once I've read all the Bible, I know it. Then what? I said, read it again. No, but I know it now. No, I've read it. I've read it more than once also. That person hadn't understood wisdom. It's not just a matter I know all the details. I can tell you the dates and the idea of the book, right? God's word, it's not once I've read it, I know it. Compare somebody who knows their Bible for 1 year with somebody who truly has been in the scriptures for 50 years. And what they can tell you about God and his word and the understanding is deep. Same Bible, same information. What is different? Wisdom. And what is the function? Time. Time. It's soaked up in their bones. The kind of insight that wisdom gives doesn't come overnight. It takes time. I'll say this. That's why, while many older people are not wise, but almost every wise person is usually older. Most of the wise people I know are older. There's a reason for it, because wisdom takes time. With the same things, even. Meditating on the same things. How many of you can meditate on 2 verses and come up with 10 thoughts? I have difficulty finding half a thought, right? We have this often in our discipleship, right? But I'm just, you know, I'm reading the Bible and then now 10 thoughts come, but they're not of the Bible, they're of all my cares in life, right? That's where we are. Again, the discipline of time with something, just looking at it. And the devil is a genius. He doesn't have to tempt us anymore. He doesn't have to do anything. He just has to give us the resources. We're like butterflies, no? We just flicker at the nearest thing, right? So that's why I say, don't bring your smartphones to church. You're already distracted. And this Bible doesn't have push notifications. This Bible doesn't have the app. It doesn't have your spiritual distraction, right? No, I'm not distracted. I'm only Googling the meaning of a word for half an hour. So what was the sermon about? I'm not sure. What was the meaning of the word? I'm not sure, but it was an interesting journey, right? We're distracted. And we are allowing the distractions of life because we're not able to focusedly give our time to something. Time. Proverbs reminds us that one bite here, one meeting there is not going to suffice. Some of you have been missing from fellowship for not just weeks, but months. No time. No time. No time, no wisdom. Simple. No effectiveness for God. You're not going to be living a life for God's glory. It's that simple. Nobody needs to tell you this. It's mathematical, you could say. Spiritual mathematics. One bite here, one meeting there. Time with God's word and seeking his guidance will make you wise. Finally, as we wrap this up, time is over. The essence of wisdom is found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, this is a vast topic, the fear of the Lord, and we'll revisit it more in Proverbs, but for now, we can just simplify what the fear of the Lord is here. There's a book that the men have started. I hope the women will take it up. It's called When People Are Big and God Is Small. Fear of man is the heart of the issue. Peer pressure, fear of man. And he contrasts the fear of man with the fear of God. What is peer pressure? What is fear of man? We are controlled by what people think. And that's a good way to understand what the fear of the Lord is. Being controlled by who God is. I'm driven not by what people think and what I want them to think of me. I'm driven by what God thinks, what his will is, and all other decisions are made in that light. Right? How do we fear men? Well, think about the house you bought. Why did you buy it? Did you just buy it because of a need that you had, or do you buy it because everybody has it? The car that you have, the clothes that you wear, the job that you have, the money amount that you have, the growth that you want, right? The decisions that you make in life. How much of it was determined by the fear of the Lord rather than log kya kahenge? The place that you stay in. You see? That which drives us is what we can use the word fear. It's not terror, it's control. That's the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord has to be this driving force that controls everything in our lives. The fear of the Lord himself. That's the idea of the fear of the Lord. It's the opposite of the parallel in verse 7. Fools despise wisdom instruction. The fear of the Lord controls the believer, and they treasure God. They are humble. They desire to change. They desire instruction. They desire to obey Him in all their ways. That's the fear of the Lord. We observed last time, Solomon himself lacked this for much of his life, isn't it? That's why he fell. He was not progressively wise, nor was he progressively driven by the fear of the Lord. He gave into his self for decades of his life. At the end, he had to write Ecclesiastes, basically saying, I did this, you don't do it. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. It's the heart of where wisdom starts. You know, many of the some of the Proverbs actually have parallels in Egyptian Proverbs. Solomon and the wise people have derived some of those Proverbs from what was known. But what they've done is they've centered it around. It's not just earthly wisdom. They've centered it around and sanctified it by understanding that the root for the people of God, real wisdom, lived for the glory of God, comes when your foundation is not just how to be successful in this life, but I'm driven by the Lord and His person and character. The fear of the Lord, you see? The fear of the Lord is the foundation. You can't have Shakespeare without ABC. You can't have Mozart without Do, Re, Mi. You can't have Einstein without 1, 2, 3. You can't have wisdom, true wisdom, godly wisdom, God-glorifying wisdom, without the fear of the Lord. We are Christians. We are believers. And the heartbeat of our wisdom is, I'm directed, I'm driven by my relationship with my Lord. In New Testament language, and we don't find the fear of the Lord very often in the New Testament, but we do find a parallel. We can say this, to receive Christ as Lord and walk in obedience to Him is the starting point of wisdom. The Lordship of Christ as your Lord and Savior. And finally, one last note. We talked about the fear of the Lord. Let's speak of the wisdom of Christ. For the Christian, where does the fear of the Lord begin? Where does this happen? It happens at the cross. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. This is the one explicit place where Christ, the wisdom of God, is spoken of. And the wisdom of God, personified in Christ, is directly connected to the cross. That's the starting point of Christian wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ we preach, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ crucified. Remember, when we look at the scriptures, Proverbs is a rest stop. It's like a rest stop on our journey. Look at the Bible as a journey, as a highway. Proverbs is a rest stop. And where does the journey, biblical journey, reach its destination? It reaches its destination at Christ. Don't read the Bible piecemeal. Remember where we are in Proverbs. And so Proverbs will always need to be pointing us to the remainder of our journey, Christ. Ultimate wisdom is not found in Proverbs. Proverbs will give us an outline about how to live. But the ultimate wisdom of God is found in Christ. And here specifically, the wisdom of God is in Christ crucified. Wisdom, Proverbs wisdom is good guidance for how to live for God. Christ is the wisdom of God to save you and change you. True wisdom is found at the cross. At the cross, you will learn to fear God and obey Him fully. And what's the result of Christ, the wisdom of God? I'll give you three verses. You can look at it yourself. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. There is spirit-given wisdom and understanding. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, this wisdom through the word of God comes from the Spirit of God. He's praying that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom. When God saves you, he puts his spirit in you, and his spirit fills you with wisdom as you go to God's word, so that it's a transformative wisdom in your heart that comes from Christ. We have saved, we are given the spirit, we are given the word, and what is the end result? Not that we become healthy, wealthy, and successful. That's a lie. It's multi-level marketing scam in the church. Prosperity gospel is a multi-level marketing scam that you are to go in the world and exercise your right to make things and realities yourself. It's a lie. The Bible doesn't teach it. It's a false gospel and it's a false promise. What is the goal of the believer? Chapter 4, verse 5 of Colossians. The wisdom leads to what? Not prosperity. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. That's a small way of saying the church exists through the wisdom of God wisely to live as a way to save the world. That's the best effect of godly wisdom. Not me. Wisdom is not God's wisdom, doesn't make me greater. God's wisdom is used to transform me and then the world. Remember this for the rest of Proverbs. Looking at Christ, looking away from yourself, is the beginning of wisdom. And as we walk through this book, if there's one thing that you remember, it is always at the end of it, look to Jesus. Turn your eyes and ears to him, and you will be wise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this beginning. We are excited to hear from you, to be challenged by you, to truly be instructed, both taught and disciplined. So soften our hearts, Lord. Transform us, make us wise, so that there is no regret in our lives. And you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.